satisfy you.
Welcome to Knotcast, episode 359. Furries versus normies. I'm Saverin.
I'm Shiva.
And I'm not a normie.
That's Fuzz, the normie.
Normie.
So we're going to probably end up doing a shorter episode today. And we say that, and last week's episode was literally an hour 40 minutes long. And if anybody makes it to the end, gold star.
So for last week, you should probably tell why werewolves are bisexuals.
Right.
Oh!
Or no, the other way around. Bisexuals are werewolves.
Right, yeah.
I'm having trouble connecting to the internet. Take a look at the help section in your Alexa app.
I'm sorry you're having problems, Alexa.
We also have an AI joining us this week, Alexa.
I don't know. It's having spotty trouble. I just plugged it in here earlier and
just to see if it would work.
Well, it's on the Wi-Fi, but I've been having weird dropouts on the Wi-Fi, so apparently that was one.
Yeah. Is that her chiming in there, trying to connect?
Might have to just unplug it until we figure out what's going on with the... If it talks again, we'll just unplug her and she can deal.
So the bisexuals or werewolves thing is a reference to a thread that I saw that someone screen capped from Tumblr and posted on Twitter, where they were making this analogy. They were like, so when someone says they're a werewolf and the other person responds, so when you're a human, right? And when you're a werewolf, you're a werewolf. And like, no, I'm a werewolf all the time. And then the next comment is, like bisexuals are always bisexuals. And then the last comment was, so bisexuals are werewolves. It's like, yes, headcanon accepted.
That'd be okay.
So I also use that line with the Inklings from Splatoon. They may be kids, they may be squids, but they're always Inklings. Yep. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter who they're hanging with, so...
Are they hanging with Mr. Cooper?
No. That was an alright show, though. So, last week I had something on the agenda that I didn't actually talk about.
Okay.
So, that convention in Kentucky that would look like it was heading for a disaster, Fandom Fest in Lexington, Kentucky, it was yet another one of those Comic-Cons where they promised you the goddamn moon and have a million guests, and then, oh, they canceled. Which, if any of you have paid any attention to conventions like this, whenever they cancel for personal reasons or filming, 90% of the time, they didn't get paid. And this seemed to be pretty much the case. There's actually an article that I've pulled up, and basically... Apparently they forgot to get Colin Baker from his hotel at some point. Initially, Fandom Fest in Louisville, Kentucky, was slated to be at the Kentucky Exposition Center, which is an expo hall in Lexington.
Are you sure we didn't talk about this on the show?
We may have mentioned it briefly.
Okay.
But the convention happened, and they were like, oh, we'll have 30,000 people. And then they got shifted into a... closed down Macy's at a Stabtown mall.
What? Into a Macy's.
Into a Macy's store.
A closed Macy's.
A closed Macy's. So they still had, like, the jewelry cases and the perfume counters and some of the fixtures that are fixed in place. Mm. And the fire marshal's like, okay, cool, you can have 1,700 people at any one time.
Yeah.
There will be door clickers.
It's a department store, not a convention center.
So. Exactly. The vendors signed up, being like, oh, we're going to be in the expo hall. No. You're going to be in the jewelry department. And you're going to be in the perfume. I mean, the good thing is the cases are there, so people can display their wares pretty easily. There's pretty like a dead raccoon somewhere in there that made the place stink.
Okay. Wait, are you joking? Or are you?
No, it's weird? In this article. So it's comicsbeat.com did a post just titled Fandom Fest, Comic-Con held in an abandoned Macy's doesn't go well. Stories of fandom cons gone bad are irresistible, and last week's Fandom Fest in Louisville, Kentucky had all the classics. Disappointed vendors, canceled celebrities, and last-minute venue change. But there are some new wrinkles to the scammery that are a cautionary tale to those seeking celebrity autographs, in particular. Mm. And the new venue is one of the eeriest sights I've ever seen for a con, an abandoned Macy's at a local mall.
Where was the ball pit?
It's a good question. And the thing is, like, in this article, which I'm going to put in the show notes because it's really worth seeing, there is, like, Kentucky Geek Girl posted about a bunch of pictures of the interior... of this from the setup phase, and like there's still signage that says Macy's up in there. I'm just gonna hold this up for fuzz so you can look at my phone briefly, but it's just, you can see it's just an empty ass.
It's an empty department store.
Oh my god!
It's an empty department store in a mall. It's probably fairly empty too. The Instagram post says vendor loading has begun at Jefferson Mall. As of this time, there's no AC. Who knows? And all the Macy fixtures are still in place, which you can see here. Escalators don't work, but there is an elevator. Can someone tell me how this convention will actually work for anybody who has a wheelchair, who has health problems, or simply wants to enjoy their time? And then they posted photos of the setup, which is basically them using the in-placed fixtures to vend from. But this is a event that promised 30,000 people and could have 1,700 at a given time, and the vendors probably took a massive bath. I'm going to try to find a list of the... Among the notables who canceled, everyone from headliner Weird Al to Burt Ward to several Beauty and the Beast cast members, here are some of the Fandom Fest celebrities who have canceled. At least 25 celebrities canceled, and I'm saying this with quotation fingers. Mm-hmm. So here's who appears to have canceled. Weird Al. Spencer Wilding and Invig Delia of Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Paige O'Hara, Robbie Benson, Richard White, Jesse Cordy, and Bradley Pierce of Disney's Beauty and the Beast. Tori Spelling and Ian Zerling of Beverly Hills 90210, in addition to Spelling's husband Dean McDermott. Nick Ranieri, former character animator for Walt Disney Animation Studios. John Paragon of Pee-wee's Playhouse. Margaret Carey, who played Tinkerbell in Disney's animated Peter Pan. Burt Ward. Paul McGann.
Paul McGann?
Yeah.
Then we're going to get Paul. Then we're going to get Paul McGann.
He's Paul Casey. Oh,
he canceled.
Right.
Yeah, this is the list of the people that are canceled. Xander Berkeley of The Walking Dead in 24. Chris Sullivan of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Lisa Ryder of Andromeda and Jason X. Michael Eklund of The Call and Watchmen. Charlie Adler.
Oh, wow.
C. Andrew Nelson of Star Wars Episode 1 and 2. Brianna Versus, The Walking Dead and Agent Shield. And Peter Shikota of Falling Skies and Mortal Kombat Legacy.
So, I wonder if they meant by people who canceled. Does this count the people that don't even return their emails as canceling? like, hey, do you want to come? Crickets. Oh, he canceled.
But these are people that were listed on their website, though. Mm-hmm. Like, and the thing is, I can tell you that probably the list of the people who canceled, their appearance fees are probably in the $100,000, $200,000 range. Because the sheer number, and B, people like Weird Al are incredibly expensive. To book Weird Al for a concert is significant.
Well, when you book in a celebrity and they cancel, you can then repurpose that to another celebrity who cancels, and another, so you can say all these people canceled.
Well, generally it's 50% 30 days out, 50% on site. Or in some very rare cases, it's 50% up front, 50% at the door. So it really depends on who you're dealing with. But I think a lot of these folks, they probably were given a large guarantee on their autographs and then never got, like, travel arrangements. Because in the article, apparently a lot of folks... Okay, Charlie Adler. I didn't exactly cancel. They did not ever confirm travel and or accommodations with two deadlines accepted to do so. It was all on them. Ian Zerling. I'm sorry I will not be attending Fandom Fest this weekend due to unforeseen circumstances. And C. Andrew Nelson going, due to travel mix-ups, I will not be at Fandom Fest this weekend. So, basically, they had the Stranger Things kids, Sting the Wrestler, Sean Gunn. But it was just one of those things where also the people that run it are like, oh yeah, by the way, no refunds. Well... Oh, you bought autograph tickets for this person who didn't come? Oh, shame.
Well, I wonder if they chucked out all this money to people who then they never arranged to come, and then they were out the funds, and then they couldn't pay for their venue.
It seems a lot like a scam. A poorly run scam. A lawsuit's being planned. But wait, there's more. It seems the fire marshal had some concerns about packing 30,000 people into Macy's and only allow 700 at a time. Basically, it was a mess.
TLDR, don't run a con like this.
Yeah.
You fucking fucks.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently in 2013, the con was so badly organized that on his panel, John Barrowman, a man who knows his ways around a con, told fans who didn't get photos to ask for their money back. Kentucky Girl also had a brutal takedown, including some snarky tweets from Barrowman. Oh, and Colin Baker apparently had a bad time with them in 2013. is tweeting, still waiting for someone to come collect me to start Phantom Fest, watching CSI to pass the time.
Oh, God.
At 3:23 p.m., 4:42 p.m., still sitting in my room, sans schedule, sans information, sans everything.
Oh, no.
10:14 p.m., anyone at Phantom Fest today who was waiting on my panel? The cancellation had nothing to do with me. I was ready and willing. So I don't know if he ever got to go to Phantom Fest.
Said he just got to spend time in Kentucky.
Watching CSI on local cable.
Like, how the hell do you, like, pay to fly him over here and everything and then just not pick him up from his hotel?
Because he's not cheap. I mean,
yeah, I just don't know. And the thing is, conventions like this that focus on people getting autographs and churning through people so quickly, there's so much money in play that there's a lot of really greedy fuckers who have no business running actual conventions doing it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, no refunds, we're keeping your money. Oh, they had to cancel. What a darn shame. Did you ever contact these people? Probably not. It is super rife with graft and bad actors. For me, Nightmare Nights, we have a number of guests, a very small number of whom have appearance fees. We have a very strict budget, and we've never had an issue like this because we only get two, three V voice actors and maybe a couple show staff that might have appearance fees, and a lot of other people, like, they don't have that. They'll show up if you give them a table and a flight and a room and a chance to go to Fogo to show with, in this case, Lauren Faust. You know, they're like, oh, wait, I can go to, oh, fuck yeah, I'll come. One of the guests that we haven't announced yet, show writer guy, who is just kind of out of the blue, like, yo, I've heard really good things about your con. I want to come. And it's like, well, we'll do this and this. Sounds cool. Can't wait. All right. And it's just that they'll...
And that's happened to you before. Like, wasn't there one of the... Was it Jan Barrow, one of the writers?
We've had a number of folks.
Yeah, who was just like, hey, I want to come to the con. And you don't have to do anything. I just want to
come to the con. Yeah, actually, it was the first year we had her. Uh-huh. And we've had her back every year since as sort of a thanks thing.
Yeah.
Because she's a really good guest.
Mm-hmm.
But... Yeah, the first year she was like, I just want to come to your con. If you guys can give me a room, help fly me out, maybe. All right.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. That tells you you're running a good con when you have people like that who say, hey, I hear good stuff about you. I'll come out.
We had a comic artist lady whose name escapes me at the moment. She was at a con and wanted to come. And we're like, look, we're really sorry. Our budget's tapped. She's obviously out of LA or whatever. And she was like, you know what? That's fine. You guys are really cool. Here, let me give you some stuff for your charity auction.
Aww.
And she gave us, like, a couple of things to go in the charity auction this year. But it was just like, yo, I've heard good things. I want to come. I'm sorry. Our budget's full. That's cool. Here, let me give you some stuff for charity.
That's really nice.
Yeah. Awesome. To that end, I've also, like, promoted her towards other conventions who are going to get her. So.
Who are maybe looking for guests.
Yeah. Well, or and are also on that side of the country... And wanting to get some comic folks. Because the ride isn't over yet.
Earlier in your planning stages, because your con is in, what, 2 months?
3 months.
3 months.
October 27th, 29th, 2017. There is that Sarah Anderson comic you posted, the normal people. Ah, it's August. Cool. And the girl's like puts her hand on the ground. Rumble. It's coming, and it's like a train with a flaming pumpkin streaming ghosts out of it. It's like Halloween. Halloween season has begun. Yes, skeletons everywhere.
Yeah, I added him on that because, like, I knew he'd totally get
it. Oh, yeah.
And I love Sarah Anderson's comics. I bought both of her her books.
And it's also, like, the shopping center that has the Kroger and the Target and the fitness store. Next to the Nuni Buffet, there's that empty storefront that's empty but for... Like, late August through Halloween, where they have the Spirit Halloween store that pops up every year. And I saw the now hiring, and I'm like, yes!
Like, it's coming.
It's coming. I mean, and there's a Spirit, there's the other one. That it's just, there's a couple of different stores that pop up every year, and I just love going and looking. Mm-hmm. And seeing, like, what cool Halloween shit do they have. This year, they have it, the Target Halloween stuff is out now. Mm-hmm. In some places.
I love Halloween. I mean, some people get salty about seeing Christmas. I'm like, Halloween's like, yes.
Okay. Have either of you guys heard the term Halloween is gay Christmas?
I've heard the term. You told me.
I told you, yeah. But neither one of y'all have heard of it?
No.
Well, fuck. Okay. See, I'd heard it, and actually it was used as, to me, as a reason why one of our guests this year didn't want to come out of L.A., because they're like, no, I'm going to go to the fucking Halloween party of this gay Christmas out there. And we're like, okay, we'll pick a different guest. Have fun. Be gay. Do crimes. Don't run scammy cons, kid. I mean, yeah, you can fold the LLC and avoid legal liability for that business, but your reputation will forever follow you.
Yeah.
And people will warn other people. Conventions talk.
I wonder how that one fuck got on. That one that was guy that was involved with the local con that folded.
He fucked off. He's still trying to do things time to time, but he's been very unsuccessful as of late. Because people, anytime something of his shows up, people pull out the knives. And the con org who was working with him was recently found, A, to be living here in the area, and her information was found by the lawyer representing one of the VAs she stiffed for $20,000. So, she's gonna have a bad time. Mm. And that was actually, like, 6 to 8 months ago, so her bad times are probably already over, and she's gonna forever be paying 35 cents for every dollar she makes to this guy.
Speaking of bad times and legal issues, if you don't mind me segueing.
Go for it.
So, this was a suit that started back in 2015, where Peter Beagle, author of Last Unicorn, sued his former manager, Connor Coughlin, of Conlin Press. And like this whole time that this lawsuit has been going on, you know, all of 2016 and into 2017, this publishing company was still selling all of this Last Unicorn merch and all of these Peter Beagle books, and apparently all the money was going to them and none was going to Beagle. So they've just filed, and this was retweeted around Twitter, they've just filed an injunction against him, basically saying, you have to, it'll be effective, I think, October something or other was the date on it. You have to stop selling all this Peter Beagle shit. You are not allowed to do it anymore because this court case is ongoing. You're accused of not paying him royalties and you're still selling all of his shit. So it's looking like they'll be told to stop selling all of his shit. And it's starting to look like he'll probably win his case. It's, I mean, not finalized or anything, but I mean, well, it just reminded me, you were like, that was 8 months ago, her bad times are probably over. Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
Depends how much she's trying to fight back on it. Although in Beagle and Cochran's cases, Cochran apparently has a lot more money and lawyers at his disposal, so it's dragging on a bit.
Yeah.
But like, I they posted the PDF online of a good chunk of the court documentation, and shit, I was surprised, like all the exhibits, like, they have Exhibit A through, like, Exhibit R or something like that. Screen caps, printouts of articles, photograph reproductions. Stuff like, while Peter Beagle was being paid a stipend for his time to show up at the Last Unicorn screening tours, and he was living in a small one-bedroom apartment, but the publisher guy apparently has a really nice house on the California coast. And like,
this is the second time he's gotten screwed over then.
Yeah. And they actually attached photographs of the publisher's house to be like, yeah, this, to basically say, allegedly, this dude is cleaning up and Beagle's getting nothing. So that's the current status of that.
Because Peter Beagle got screwed on kind of the first round of Last Unicorn stuff. Yeah. I didn't realize he was getting screwed out of the new
And Cochran was the guy that helped him out of it. He helped Beagle claw his rights back from whoever it was that was holding on to all the rights from and money from the movie and the book itself, too. Like, I think Beagle signed a bad publishing agreement in the 60s when Last Unicorn was officially published, so that basically all the money from the film and other spin-off media all went to the publisher.
Mm-hmm. That's fucking bad.
Yeah, and you know, and like Peter Beagle's like 83. He's been writing since his 20s, and he's basically, you know, living like he's on Medicare or something. You know, he's just living in a one bedroom apartment, paycheck to paycheck. I'd say, except he's not been having a paycheck. So yeah, originally this dude helped him, and they had a long history together. They worked together for like 20, 25 years, and then Beagle filed this lawsuit against him, and his kids sided with his publisher.
What the fuck?
And they were trying to say that their father had dementia. And apparently there's been like Beagle's lawyer has brought in all these medical reports and experts saying that he doesn't have dementia. He's very healthy for a man of his age. And, you know, like, and apparently Cochran and the kids were allegedly saying that that Beagle was an alcoholic and had basically drank his life away. And, of course, the Beagle's lawyer had all this other shit on that. It was like, no, he's not. He's not an alcoholic and he doesn't have dementia. They're just taking advantage of him. So it's a really complex case. And it's, like I said, it's been going since 2015 at least. But it's just recently had additional court filings. So
I was,
that's the update on that.
I was glad to see like Peter Beagle maybe finally getting, you know, his due for Last Unicorn, and it makes me really sad to find out he's been fucked over a second time.
Allegedly, with Rodeo. Because it is not beyond this guy to sue. Because there was another person who was running a website that was basically like, hey, all these people aren't getting their orders, and Peter Beagle's being fucked over, and he was putting all this stuff on there, all these customer complaints and everything like that. And Cochran sued him, and that case is still ongoing. I'm not sure what the status of that is right now.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, if you don't caveat it and you say they did this, he'll fucking sue you.
And okay.
I don't need that shit in my life. But so I'm trying to deliver this in those are the facts of the situation. This case is currently ongoing, but
yeah.
You know, no matter which side is telling the truth, it's a shitty situation to be going through. So that blows. There are shenanigans. And it's shit like that. When shit like that happens, that's the kind of thing that gave publishers a bad name for so long. There's mm-hmm. There's a lot of horror stories in the publishing industry about some cutthroat publishing company. So, and it's the same in the record industry too. You know, there was there's been numerous famous bands that like got super famous early on, and they signed a contract, and they didn't have legal representation, and they didn't really know what they were signing. And it's like, hey, you're signing away basically 99.9% of any money you get for this song, and then it becomes massive. And yeah, there's a lot of situations like that. And then, you know, there are a lot of other publishers who are really good and trying to, like, work with their authors and make it mutually beneficial. And that seems to be more the case now. Like, I read a lot of, like, publisher and author Twitters and blogs and stuff like that. And the whole author beware thing of these are the shitty publishers, it seems like it's not as common as it used to be.
Good.
You know, people, like, the word's kind of gotten out. Because, I mean, sci-fi only, like, really took off, like, from the 30s on. You know, there's older science fiction books than that, but, like, as a big community mm-hmm. with their own publishers and stuff like that, they, you know, that happened 30s, 40s, Worldcon started, etc. So, now we're, you know, what, 80 years, 70, 80 years later. Now, you know, people are not trying to fuck each other over as much.
Plus, I wonder if, like, the digital publishing and everything, it hasn't kind of blown the doors off of it. Because it's a lot easier to self-publish these days.
Yeah.
Get a halfway decent editor and self-publish.
And a lot of authors have realized, like, all these publishers consolidated. I mean, even up until a couple years ago, there were 6 big publishers, and now there's only 5 because Penguin and Random House merged. So it's like, it's really hard to get in door with one of those big ones, but there's all these small press publishers and medium-sized publishers, you know, like companies like Tor and Angry Robot. So I don't know how you want to pick that up.
You were talking about publishers.
I was just saying, you know, Tor and Angry Robot seem to be doing really well, and they're pretty good publishers.
Well, also, I think a lot of it has to do with if there being less shitty deals, because people can talk. People be like, oh, yeah, man, these guys fucked me hard. And basically, they know that the authors will be like, no, don't sign with them. They're shitty.
Yeah.
And for a lot of independent press, yeah, you can totally do your own thing. So.
Yeah.
I would like to inform you. So, Fuzz, you and I went to Wendy's tonight. Yes. And they had Coke Zero Sugar on the fountain. We talked about it last week.
Because we're all big Coke Zero drinkers.
And.
Because we're silly that way.
I got cherry vanilla Coke Zero Sugar. And I'm like, it tastes about the same.
Huh.
That's fine.
As long as it doesn't taste like Diet Coke.
And I tweeted about it. I was like, yo, it tastes about the same. And this account called Coke Zero Hero just replied to me and said, wrong. And I'm like... And I look at their account, and they're like, all their tweets are them complaining about Coke Zero is awful and Coke Zero is bad, and anybody that tweets anything vaguely positive towards about Coke Zero Sugar, you are wrong. You won't be laughing when it makes you nauseous. The only thing worse than the packaging and name of Coke Zero Sugar is the taste, sickening, sweet, bland imposter. The Coke Zero Defender has logged on.
That's Kyle Gold's alt.
Oh, okay.
No, not really.
Well, I drink the generic ass Coke Zero from like Kroger when it's on sale, and regular ass Coke Zero is $1.80 for a 2-liter. I'll just pay 77 cents to get the knockoff shit. I don't care. It's caffeine. Put it in me. But Coke Zero Hero. Just, I would like to inform you that Coke Zero Sugar is Coke Zero with a label. They're just like, wrong! Insert wee here.
Oh
my god.
It's a fun tweet. I just got an email from Senator Cory Booker. Subject line, marijuana. My interest is piqued.
Yes. I've dropped a centaur's life. I think I talked about it last week. It was the weird ass, randomly paced centaur anime.
Yeah.
So there's a very early chapter in the manga where basically one of the characters is super self-conscious about her vagina. It's the centaur.
Uh-huh.
Because when they were kids, they went to a farm and there was a cow. And the kids saw a cow and it like lifted its tail, and one of the little non-centaur boys was like, does yours look like that? Pointing at the cow.
Uh-huh.
And she's been apparently self-conscious ever since. And the reason it's brought up, she's like had some dude trying to give her a love letter, and she was super afraid of it.
Aww.
And so the solution for these girls, which is actually really not that weird, I mean, when you're young, you're like, well, what did yours look like? In this case, they do look a different. They look at her, and they look at the demon girl, and they look at the goat girl. The goat girl's apparently a bit hairy. But they're like, it looks like a vagina. But it's this 12-minute segment of these characters being like...
describing their
vaginas. Yeah, they're just looking at each other's vaginas. Then, of course, the guy approaches her again the next day after she's feeling more secure about herself. And the guy just wrote this shitty notes. I think you're hot because you've got big boobs. She's just like, never mind. Boys are dumb. But it was just one of those things where...
I think you're hot because you've got that meaty horse vagina.
Yeah. I And then the next part was the snake girl shows up. So, A Centaur's Life, aka A Centaur's Worries, is a super rather fucked up, poorly paced co-pro with China
weird show.
Yeah, it's super fucking weird, and it has some weird political commentary shit that's very Japan-centric that doesn't make a lot of sense for us in the West. I mentioned it last week about the whole...
because you lot are all concerned about sexuality and gender.
Inequality. But, like, the comment last week where the main character kisses her niece goodbye as she slays her sleeping body down in the car, and the mom's like, oh, it's a shame you're a girl. I don't think I can give her to a lowly Yuri lover. So, like, a lesbian pedophile, that's just not cool. But if you were a guy, okay, I guess that'd be all right. And that's where the sin car comes from, too. It's...
Like, okay, it's Yuri Lawler cuck that she put on her MAGA hat.
It's a cute show that's kind of trying to follow in the vein of, okay, monster characters are cool, because we had Monster Musume, which is great for a lot of awesome and awful reasons. Then you had Interviews with Monster Girls, which is the opposite end of the spectrum, where it's pure and wholesome, and the main character is a teacher more concerned about how to best accommodate his differently abled students, because, like, one girl gets overheated real easy, one's a vampire whose sun burns really bad, the other one's a Dullahan who's like has to hold her severed ass head. It was a weird ass show, but it's really cute. She's a headless horseman.
Oh,
like she's a Dullahan, and so she's got the flaming like stump thing on top of her head, and she holds her head, and it's not like dripping gore or anything. She's just this anime ass girl,
so she's like a headless ood.
Yeah, she has to hold her head, and she doesn't want to drop it, and yada yada. And so, like, it's all about, like, the teacher's trying to accommodate them, because they're this extreme minority in the school.
Hmm.
And you could pick your parallels, and it's a very sweet series.
I seem to have lost my head. I fell to the ground, and I kicked it around. Voltaire's on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This one is just like, okay, there's the centaur girl, the demon girl, and the goat girl, but then there's also the snakes, the secret reptilians who actually run the world.
What?
Yeah, the Antarcticans. They're the snake people, the lizard people, who apparently secretly run the world. Both James and I were just like, you know what? I don't think we're going to spend any more time on this one.
I'm out.
Yeah. Like, we have enough shows on our plate that are actually good this season.
And not just fucking weird and watching it for the train wreck effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not even like a train wreck. It's just bad. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not like we're watching bland people bland at each other, blandly, like convenience store boyfriends.
What?
It's a show...
Wait, is that Clerks?
No, I wish it was. That'd be really funny. Basically, it's a very bland shoujo anime about...
I love you, Dante-san.
I love you.
Man.
Man. Do you want to close it down and play some street hockey on the roof? Alright. And it's, like, apparently focused around this convenience store next to the school, and so all these characters meet up there, and it's bizarre. But it's really boring. And so we didn't watch past the first episode. A centaur's life is just disappointing.
Yo ho ho, a centaur's life for me.
Yes, all the limbs, extra limbs just everywhere. I mean, the show is neat in that they work on, like, okay, so there's different benches and stuff for, like, the centaurs, and they have different glasses because the animal people have ears at the top of their head, and so they have these, like, headband glasses.
Right.
They just, like, go halfway and then go over the top of the head like a headband does. I'm like, okay, that makes a little more sense. They should make a
spider girl that has four vaginas, one for every pair of legs.
Sure. but we've ended up dropping this show because it's not good.
How would that be, Shiva? A spider girl character that has four vaginas, one for each pair of legs.
You lost me at spider.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Let's just say no to spiders.
Yeah, no spiders. No spider vaginas, no spider anything.
Spider vaginas.
So, Fuzz.
That's eight labia.
They're just flapping.
So, Fuzz, what is ESPN 8 the Ocho?
Okay.
At least so, in this reality.
All right, so obviously, for those who don't know, which I imagine is no one, the 2004 movie Dodgeball featured ESPN 8, the Ocho. Ocho. If it's barely a sport, it's on ESPN 8. And it featured the dodgeball tournaments. So this August 8th, for 8-8, for one day, one of the ESPN channels, which I guess there are quite a few, it's like ESPN UA or something like that. I'm not sure. But for one day, they're going to change their programming to be ESPN8, the Oat Show. What? And they're actually changing all of their programming to the rare and little seed sports.
Lawnmower racing. Goat curling.
I should have...
Midget tossing. Caber tossing.
I should have...
Midget caber tossing.
Wrench dodgeball. Dodgeball dodgeball. Tennis dodgeball.
Let me do a search.
Bowling dodgeball. Extreme mudding.
Okay, it's called ESPNU is the channel. And let me see if this is the article that's... There was one article I read earlier today that actually had a list of what some of the things that they were going... Okay, so here's what they'll actually be showing. The 2016 American Disc Golf Championship, Roller Derby Championship, Sky Zone Ultimate Trampoline Dodgeball. That actually sounds pretty cool.
That sounds fun.
Firefighters World Challenge 25.
Hmm.
Kabaddi World Cup Final, World Darts Championship, Arm Wrestling, Championship of Bags, I have no idea what that is, Evo 2017 World Championship Street Fighter, Moxie Games, and U.S. Open Ultimate Championship. So, they got some interesting stuff there. Dodgeball and juggling, martial arts and volleyball, and table tennis and soccer.
So, this is just they're doing unusual sports for a day?
Yeah, but they're actually are going to call it, they are calling it ESPN8 Oat Show. Which I think is great. I think they should just do that all the time.
That sounds fun. I mean,
I'd watch fucking trampoline dodgeball.
There's like a trampoline, like extreme basketball that they tried to do for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
That they came up on another podcast looking to, they're like about weird sports they'd seen, and it was like, certain parts of the court were trampolines and certain ones weren't. And so, like, they had trampolines in front of the goal so you could do extreme
like
dunks.
Like a super dunk where you have to bounce in the trampoline, yeah. like twice as high as the normal basketball hoop.
Yeah. You get extra points if you can bounce over the entire basketball goal.
Good.
Basketball hoop. Sports.
Weird. Oh my god, Sarah, that's hilarious. The basketball goal. Touchdown! I remember one amazing shot. I remember. This was back in the 80s. It was like the 86 Boston Celtics. And Larry Bird is like right on the foul line. Like he's like pretty much almost behind the board.
Mm-hmm.
And he's completely surrounded. And he can't get out. And he shoots the ball up. It goes from behind the board, around, and into the basket.
Nice.
It was fucking amazing.
And here we are.
I'm looking at this account, Sam. Fine? It's not fine. It's terrible. Sickeningly sweet and bland, like a real Coke Zero left open and out in the sun all day. Evil swill. Angry emoticon.
Man.
Cut my life into pieces.
This is my last zero.
Oh, we need to take this guy's quotes and put it on that picture of God Skunk.
Oh, God, that'd be hilarious. Yeah, the Coke Zero defender is very mad about his Coke Zero.
I mean, I was upset by Coke Zero, but you give me hope. But I'm not his level of upset.
Yeah.
Also, as a random aside, too, from everything else, because it's all random asides. We don't do structure. We just go point to point. All right, we're going to talk about this now.
Okay.
So there's this great set of tweets from the ACLU brief about John Oliver's lawsuit.
Right.
Here's some sections. 3. Anyone can legally say, eat shit, Bob. A. Plaintiff's motion for a temporary restraining order is ridiculous. Courts can't tell media companies how to report, Bob. All of John Oliver's speech was protected by the First Amendment. You can't sue people for being mean to you, Bob. Plaintiff's requested injunction is clearly unconstitutional. You can't get a court order telling the press how to cover stories, Bob. A brief history of plaintiff's attempts to chill speech by abusing the legal system. This is a case about plaintiff Robert E. Bob Murray not liking a television program and somehow believing that it is a legally actionable offense. On June 18, 2017, Defendant Home Box Office Inc. aired an episode of Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, a satirical news program about current events. The main topic discussed in the episode was coal. Apparently because plaintiff's delicate sensibilities were offended, they clutched their pearls and filed this suit. After the live taping, defendant Oliver exclaimed to the audience that having someone in a squirrel costume tell Bob Murray to, quote, eat shit was a, quote, dream come true. Footnote. Footnote. Everyone is allowed to have dreams.
What the hell?
Yeah, it's part of the ACLU amicus brief in defense of John Oliver. Everyone is allowed to have dreams, Bob. Did we talk about the Splatoon 2 stuff?
No.
Furries versus normies? Okay, so this title of the episode, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, did we touch on it? No, we talked about the con stuff first.
No, we should make it a tradition where we don't explain the title of the episode until the following.
No, go ahead and talk about it. We're already a terrible podcast. Let's not make it any worse. So
we have to set a new bar, though.
But the bar is already like 6 feet underground.
Dig deeper.
So
I know, we'll dig our way out.
Yes, except we're going the wrong way. So Splatoon 2 has their fake Miiverse. Miiverse was a Wii U thing where you could draw little notes, and they were cute illustrations, and there's people that are very skilled working the very low DPI, very low image resolution, and could do some really good art.
Mm.
And people, furries, would draw furry stuff, and then someone was like, please stop drawing furries as their Miiverse picture in Splatoon 2. And so people replied, draw more furries. And then a bunch of furries are like, we're going to draw a bunch of furries. And a whole lot of people have drawn furries is their Splatfest thing.
Uh-huh.
Like there was like one with a furry going, mayo! And then there's one like, behold my hideous persona! And it's like a wolf in a giant bottle of ketchup. Like in a ketchup bottle costume.
Oh, God.
And then, like, the next Splatfest, furries versus normies. And, of course, I contributed. I drew an angry little Finnick going, squee! And there are some people that are really mad that furries are flaunting their fetishes in front of children in Splatoon 2.
Sick.
Yeah. It's really funny because there was a screen cap going around. It's like someone, like, wrote 5 or 6 paragraphs worth of shit on Kotaku being mad about it in the comments of the article discussing it.
Uh-huh.
And I, like, okay, I'm going to Google this kid's name. Oh, what's this? He has this long-winded guildmaster introduction on some ancient-ass forum about him being a true gamer and how, like, he bragged about having the gold Legend of Zelda cartridge and yada yada yada. I'm like, oh, you sad, sad kid. I will say that, man, video games are great, but gamers, real unfortunate. Just going to say. Just goddamn. It seems like any time you see people being shitty about whatever, it's like, oh, either anime avatar, or they are a gamer in their thing, and it's just, or hashtag or not all gamers. Or a Sergle, yeah. It's like that fantastic screen cap that was like, some dude had changed their icon to a fucking swastika, mm-hmm. And it's like, people you know, and it's like nothing but Sergle followers. Also, in further sad news, the Burger Street on Midway and south of Trinity Mills did not burn down.
It did not burn down?
Yeah, so I had to go get new tires on my car today. One of the fun things about having an all-wheel drive car is
so
that
you
when...
you set them on, the old ones on fire and rolled them into the Burger Street?
I will neither confirm nor deny that. That advice of my legal counsel. when one tire goes bad, you kind of have to replace them all. Because differences in tread wear, even among the same tires, can result in damage to your drivetrain. Which means anytime a tire gets fucked, I'm out gonna be out $600. Pretty easy. So that fucking sucks. But
what does it have to do with the burger place?
Well, I'm getting there.
Okay.
So it was like an hour and a half wait to get my shit fixed at the Discount Tire Cast, so I walked over to the Taco Bueno and had some food and basically looked at my phone. I browsed furry porn in the corner. Like, my back to the wall, nobody around me, browsing furry porn on my phone, looking at Telegram, sending stuff back and forth, being
hashtag
like,
oh. Like a boss.
Yeah, because what the fuck else am I going to do? Like, I actually was thinking, I should bring my Switch, and then I'm like, I don't have a case for it yet. I should get a case for it. As I'm leaving, just all of a sudden, just sirens everywhere, and, like, they just whip in. Like, they whip into the parking lot of the Taco Bueno, they whip into the parking lot of the Long John Silver's A&W right there, and then fire trucks roll up, dudes hop off the fire truck in full, like, firefighter regalia and air tanks and shit. And it's like, what's going on? There's no smoke. There's no nothing. But apparently there was, like, an HVAC fire that was contained very quickly. But it was just, like, all of a sudden, the Carrollton Fire Department just descends upon this tiny little greasy-ass burger shack.
I've never been to Burger Street, so I'm assuming they're not good.
They're not bad.
Variable.
Yeah.
Like, some of them are really greasy spoon places, and I guess some are all right. I just don't go there because we've got fucking Whataburger and so many other options that it's just like, you know what? I'm just going to go to something I know. Known quantities and all that. I mean, Burger Street's a chain. If I want a somewhat random burger, I'll go to a non-chain. We've got a number of those around here, too.
A non-chain? Like Whataburger?
Well, they're a chain, but they're a regional chain. Like, JC's is a local place.
Yeah.
Though they have a few spots. And their burgers are all right.
Yeah.
And anyways, it was just kind of like, I'm walking back as all these fire department emergency vehicles are whipping in. There was an ambulance shows up because just in case, and they've got like 4 people working there, and there's nobody in the drive thru, so there's nothing nobody actually harmed, I don't think. It was just like all of a sudden,
and as you're walking away, it explodes, but you don't turn around because you're too cool for that.
Yeah, and then burgers rain down around me. As long as they don't hit me, it's fine. Because the cold frozen pucks,
truly flame broiled, they're all on fire.
Yeah, I also noticed that Brahms is like, every combo comes with a free malt or shake. And I'm like, so, note to self, don't order food there. Because if they're like, oh, you get a free malt, you guys are trying to kill me. Shiva is out of the room. Quick, Jakat's gone. Let's talk politics. No, I don't know. No, let's
I'm
not.
The one lately that's like, let's make it a happy show.
Yeah. So actually, I do have a topic that we broached briefly, and we do have a couple of emails to read too this week.
Okay.
Because we're coming up on an hour. Because of course we're coming up on an hour. It's like, oh, we're gonna make a quick show. Nah, here we are. This was something I retweeted on Twitter. What is your unpopular, benign opinion?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Not politically dodgy or just publicly derided. What is something that people are like, oh, this is fucking great, and you're like, nah. So, yeah. I posted on Twitter for me that the thing that I am on is the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, and like, I agreed with you.
There's a couple of things that are like, this is charming. And I think that Dr. Frankenfurter is played by a good actor whose name I can't remember right the second.
Tim Curry,
right. I like Tim Curry. But the rest of it's forgettable as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, whatever. But it's a cultural staple, and you gotta go to conventions and do all this shit. And I'm just like, no, I don't.
Yeah, and I understand, like, the way they say it is that it's a bad movie, they know it's a bad movie, and that's why it's fun, because they yell out all the shit during it, and it makes the experience fun. But the thing is like, oh yeah, I made the mistake of actually trying to watch the movie, but another thing that I really don't like is I really don't like any MST3 kind of thing. You know, any kind of thing set up that to be the concept is yelling out shit in the middle of something playing. It's like, I don't like that at all. You know, it just seems really obnoxious to me. So, like, what's it called again? When they do like a special showing in the movie and it's like a big event thing or something.
With a live commentary?
Like, well, of anything where they're like, it's a once in a lifetime. It's like some Fandango does.
Live at the Met or the one night only, all 3 Back to the Future films.
Yeah, stuff like that. So they're doing one where they're showing the 5 Doctors, which was Doctor Who's 20th anniversary special. Came out in 1983. But it's a shadow cast thing. So people are going to be it's going to be watching people yell out shit in it, or go probably making fun of the special effects at a time and stuff like that. And I was like, man, I would pay to go and see the 5 Doctors on the big screen. I think that would be cool, because it's, you know, it's like a 30-year-old episode now. But I don't want to see it with fucking viewer commentary. You know, I would like to go and see it and just see it. It's one of those things that's like, it was one that came out when I was a kid, and like, I have very warm, fuzzy memories of it, and I still enjoy it. And it's like, it's a shadow cast. So yeah, I guess that's my unpopular opinion, is I really don't care for that MST3K kind of humor.
What are you about you, Shiva?
So mine isn't, I dislike something that's popular. I have don't mind Nickelback at all. I don't know, understand why it's so looked
hit
down
to
on.
To hate it?
Yeah. I like Nickelback. I like a lot of music, but
yeah.
I don't understand the hate that people have for it. But I mean, it's very three chord, you know, garage bandy, but you know.
I understood it a little bit when someone took two of their songs and overlaid them and where the verses are and where the breakdown is and where the chorus is, like, matched up exactly.
Yeah, it's
so
very formulaic.
It's very formulaic, but, like, I could still enjoy listening to it, you know? I've listened to it occasionally.
For me, they're kind of like the junk food of music.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, they're not rock. Yeah, they have a song, I Want to Be a Rock Star, but...
Yeah.
They're not
incredibly dynamic
or groundbreaking or anything, but they've got catchy songs, and I like some of them a good deal. So that's my
That's more of a guilty pleasure than an unpopular opinion.
I don't know then.
Everyone knows my unpopular furry opinion. I don't like fursuits.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't get fursuits that much, but a lot of stuff like paw... I don't get.
What, like...
Oh, there's a lot of fetishes I don't get.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Again, that's just one of those, like, oh, this is super popular and common. I'm just like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get them, but they don't bother me.
Again, these are benign opinions that are just like...
Yeah, they're just kind of there. It's like, okay.
Well...
And the thing that is a little bothersome, and I've actually seen some artists say this, is... They draw a picture of a character, and it happens to have their paws in view, and like you'll have comments of, "Oh, great picture! Oh, this is really cool! Oh, those paws! I just want to lick between their toes."
And, you're like, ah.
And it's sort of like, you know what? Unnecessary.
It's like, okay, I'm going to go the...
If the artist draws a lot of paw fetish material, if that's what they're known for, perfectly acceptable. Random picture of a random character, you stick your snout in their toes. I mean,
yeah, I can see that.
It's sort of like, it's that great series by that one artist that posts like an example of an acceptable comment. An example of a creepy comment. And it's like, wow, this character is really attractive. This is really cool. And then the other one, it's like, it's the same character, but she's drawn really creepy and cringy looking in the second one. So she's like,
yeah.
She's like, oh, I really want to bleep bleep with my bleep bleep and a carrot and bleep bleep.
Yeah, I know the artist you're talking about. Lady something or other.
Yeah, her character's kind of a skinny bunny girl.
Yeah. Her. I'm trying to remember.
And she's done like two or three of these comments.
It's like artist who doesn't do paw fetish, normal character with their paws on the ground. Artist who does paw fetish but not actually drawing it, still like draws their dirty paws like facing the camera. Same with like vor artist character smiling, like non-vor artist character smiling, vor artist character smiling, and they have these horribly detailed fangs, more teeth in their skull than bones in their body.
Yeah. So Rob Liefeld is a vor artist.
Yes, so actually let me tell you about the magic of Google.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't remember his name, and I was like, I typed in horrible cable art. And then, like, the first thing that comes up in Google is the top 40 worst Rob Liefeld drawings. It's like, thank you, internet.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say artists that get comments like that will just go the Rob Liefeld route of drawing clouds around their feet,
mm-hmm.
or just draw their feet out of frame, because fuck drawing feet.
Yeah.
Feet are for casuals and or cucks. You're totally and welcome.
Millions of pockets and pouches.
And guns with oval barrels, because they're laser guns. You've been very quiet. You've been enjoying your hookah, Shiva. What's been going on with you?
Well, I can't talk birthday tonight. Was yesterday.
Yeah?
So, hit the big 4-0, because I'm old and we've been doing this a while.
Yep.
Yeah, you were only like 15 when we started.
Back in the day.
That's been mostly it is birthday plans, and work. I did something last weekend, but damned if I can remember what it was. It's been kind of a blur.
Mm-hmm. We had a nice time at Jasmine's.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, yeah, we rolled the dice and managed to get like the one cool August day that happened to fall on my birthday. And we were, Jasmine's is a Mediterranean Lebanese restaurant in the area that where we go, and they've got great food. And they also have a couple outdoor patios where they, you know, let you hookah.
I've literally been going there for 10 years, I realize.
Mm-hmm. And so the initial plan was like, okay, it's August. It's too fucking hot to hookah. Maybe indoors, and like they've got one little side room where they don't serve food, but you can indoor hookah. But half the time, yeah, it's all unts music.
You know, I haven't been in there so long since the new management took over. They may have changed that.
I've been in there once, and but it was like on a Friday. I didn't know if it was like that during the rest of the week. So,
okay. We should check it out maybe.
The original plan was like, okay, let's see what's on the plans, but we'll at least go out there and have dinner.
Yeah.
Well, for whatever reason, on my birthday, God smiled upon us, and we actually had like an 80 degree or 85, you know, it was about 80 degree day, which, considering it's been 95, 100, 100. 105, having an 80 degree day is practically unknown. So, and it this happened to fall on my birthday, so we managed to actually go sit on the patio, have a very nice dinner and hookah in the middle of August, which is unheard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Normally it's like 105.
Yeah. So
their falafel sandwich is super good.
A lot of their chicken shawarma. So good.
So usually we have hookah season, which is anytime after it starts getting cooling off, and usually around November until it starts heating up sometime in mid to late May to early June. That's hookah season, because outside of that, it's too fucking hot.
Except for this setup.
Yeah, or at least for their outside, you know, setup. So having this one-off day is kind of amazing, because it's usually fucking miserable. Of course, as we were leaving, because the sun went down, it started getting wicked humid and muggy, so we kind of skedaddled out of there. It was also getting late.
Plus, we had to be, you know, responsible adults, because we had work jobs the next day.
Yeah.
So it was a good timing all around. But that was mostly it. It's been birthday. Made a kind of knee-jerk decision. Well, we were at Jasmine's, so I'm actually going to go to Meffitt, so I'll be at Meffitt for me.
That was like my Frolandia decision, the way you did that. You're like, oh, cheap plane ticket, buy a phone, boop.
Well, it was here that somebody was going to Meffitt that I hadn't seen in like four or five years now.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, this is the only place that our paths will cross. I can't drive out with Sarah because I have to work. What's late plane tickets on Friday look like? Huh, that's $100. Bye.
Yeah, that's a really good price. Yeah. And it's a super short flight, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like an hour and a half. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's cool. And the airport's right there north of it.
Yeah, so I'll hit the airport probably about, I don't know, 8. Be on a plane around 9:30. Be out there around 11.
Nice. Just
easy peasy.
Yeah. Car expenses and family stuff is going to keep me from doing that this year. I was kind of hoping to do so, because I haven't been to MFM since our last disastrous live show there.
That had to be like 2010.
That was a while back, yeah.
Yeah, it was about then.
I just need you guys to get, if they still have them, any more of their black and white shirts left over, because Panther loves sleeping in them. That's his sleep shirts. He sleeps in old Meffitt shirts.
They've been doing color the last couple of years.
I know. And they're generally pretty nice, and they're cute, and I like their little skunk. Like, I like skunks, so yay. But they just...
But
that's not very nice to say.
What?
I said I like skunks, Alexa. Oh, God, she's listening.
What? You didn't even... What did you say to set her off?
I don't even know. So, Shiva has an Alexa unit.
It's a Echo Dot.
An Echo Dot. And it's in here, and she's mouthed off a couple times. We just need to get Cortana and Siri talking to her as well.
I just don't even know what you set to trigger her, because you didn't say her name or anything. She's
like, that's not very nice. I'm like, I said I like skunks. They're cool. Are you judging me for my favor toward particular Fursona species over others? I mean...
I gotta say, Mephit has really stepped up their social media this year. I think I mentioned that a couple of months back, actually, how it was like months before the con and they were tweeting about it. Anyway, they just tweeted this. It says, the dealer's den welcomes back for Planet in all caps. Looking for a good read? They've got it. They'll see you in 2017. And it's like our little image with the MFM and some of our covers of our new releases. And they tweeted that out.
Huh.
Yeah. It's like, well, that's cool.
Actually, that reminds me. They'll keep modernizing
everything else and, like, maybe, you know.
I need to start my Vendor of the Day stuff with Nightmare Nights.
What of the day?
Vendor of the day.
Oh.
Like, hey, these people are coming to Nightmare Nights. Check out their cool art. We like them. Yay.
Yeah, that's basically what they're doing.
Yeah. But we have a number.
More cons did that. I mean, it's easier with yours. You've got, well, like, 40 vendors?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
imagine doing that at Anthrocon.
They just have to start. Probably
300 people there.
Well, hell, doing it at TFF when I've got a 100 table den.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have somewhere between 100 to.
So 4 months before the con, start tweeting dealer of the day. Subject to change, because 3.5 months is a long time.
Mm-hmm. And see, we can just be like, yo, we're going to do it in order of which two of you paid us first. And that way, everybody gets in the order in which they paid me. That'd be great. That's the way to do it. I should start that. Because, man, we got some good vendors this year.
I
had the pick of the fucking litter when it came to artists this year, and I felt bad because there's some really good artists that I had to, like, put on the, like, okay, if one of these artists drops, and it came down to, like, the last couple ones was just, you registered the latest during the window, and so it was just like, oh, I really like you, and maybe if you, like, share a table with somebody, that'd be cool, because I like your stuff, but I don't have enough room, but... Yeah, I totally had my pick of the litter, and I had an interaction with one that was just like, oh, and here I fixed an issue for them, and, like, by the way, looking forward to you, love your art. And they're like, oh, wow, that's great, thanks.
So, I don't know if I don't think I mentioned that in the show. I mentioned to, like, maybe you guys off show. But at MFM this year, I'm right next to Noxie and right across the aisle from Fox and Pepper.
Nice.
So, I'm kind of surrounded by people I know. Which is cool.
You know how we said it's going to be a short show? We're already at 1:10 almost.
Yeah.
So let's hit our emails real quick.
All right, okay.
We do have a couple of emails. They're not that long.
And we haven't done it, like, the last couple of weeks, so.
Because we haven't really had any.
This is our email song. It isn't very long.
Yep.
It isn't very good either.
Okay, so here is a... Hamstep85. All right, first of all, hang on. You can email us at notcast@foxdiffers.com. You can send us anonymous Tumblr questions at notcast.tumblr.com. I need to update the Discord and Tumblr links, or Discord and Telegram links, because they have changed. As it goes, generally the Telegram link eventually gets out there and people start joining and being like, oh, is this a gay group? And then 2 seconds later posting a dick pic. Which just means it's time to regen the code and ban the person. Because there's like, oh, is this gay? Dick pic. Ban. Regenerate code. Update everything else. So, Hamstap85 asked a question. I'm reaching out to any furries in the Nashville, Tennessee area. I would like to eventually reestablish regular meets and events. I found evidence of a group by the name of Music City Furs, but every effort to contact them via Twitter, Facebook, and the website have been met with those pages being deleted. The website doesn't even exist anymore. I am best reachable on Telegram, Discord, or FA at Hamstap85. So there's his your furry personal section.
That's HAMSTAP85.
So if you're in Nashville, Tennessee, and would like to make some friends, you should do that. So Do you have an email open, Fuzz?
I do.
Pick one.
Okay. One opened is Working Dilemma. Hey, Notcast. It's been a while since I've written in, and things are going a lot better in some regards. But I have an issue. I'm really struggling to find a new job since my current job doesn't pay enough and we have some financial issues at the moment. I know of a job that I would be pretty much guaranteed to get, and it certainly pays enough, but the problem is the working environment. The place is so oppressive and depressing. Last time I worked there, I ended up suicidal again. I already have issues with my depression, and I'm getting better at handling it. Hell, 3 to 4 months at this job would get me the money to go back to school, but can I hold up to that? 3 to 4 months of 50 to 60 hour weeks in an environment that feels like ages, and I'm not sure if it's a healthy decision either. If I keep looking, but bills are stacking up, I could really use the advice, guys. Thanks, Legion Bunny. So, what do you guys think?
Well, if bills are stacking up, you know, I think he wrote to us while he was working that other job before, and he said it was pretty awful. It's kind of like 3-4 months of putting up to it, and you'll be in a better footing later on, or it'll be a long 3 or 4 months. I'm personally tired of being in debt, being behind, you know, having things looming over and not being able to get by that. I don't know. At this point in my life, I would take a shitty job to get out from underneath all that weight. And having that weight off your shoulders is, for me personally, worth a couple months of hell. As long as it's a couple months of hell and then, not, you know, like, forever. You know, so if it were me, I would go do the 3 or 4 months of shitty ass work, get myself out from underwater, and then try and find something better. But that's me, and that's just after years of struggling financially and then finally getting in a good spot, knowing how much better it feels not to be drowning and just constantly falling further and further behind.
Yeah.
That's worth it more to me than a couple months of hell.
Well, because of our capitalist hellscape, so basically your choices are starvation or a shitty job.
Right. If you've really got your depression a lot more under control, and if you've got a support structure around you, like maybe you're seeing a therapist or you're on some medication or you have friends and family to lean on when you're having an emotional breakdown or something like that, then, you know, 3 or 4 months of this job might be doable. I am worried about you using the term suicidal. I mean,
yeah.
If it's really as bad that it's going to make you feel suicidal, I mean, it's your life on one hand. So I would, I'm a little worried about that. But I mean, I don't know you or your personal situation. I mean, If you think things have changed enough for you and you have a support structure, then it's worth 3 or 4 months of a shit job to make, you know, great gains in your financial situation. But if it's really going to push you to being almost suicidal again, then it's not worth it.
Yeah. It's like, can you tough it out realistically for 3 or 4 months and come out the other side better? Or are these 3 or 4 months going to be too much? So.
Your thoughts, Tyler?
It's one of those things where it's like, how much of a hellscape can you endure? If you're underwater and stressed, that's not going to help you. But you have a shitty job that will help you out financially, but not, like, emotionally. That's not really a good option either, but unfortunately it sounds like you're kind of in a rock or a hard place.
I mean, yeah. If it was going to be like, you know, you go back to the shitty-ass job and there's going to be no end in sight, I'd advise against that and look for something else. But with it being 3 or 4 months, then since it would be short-term, I'd be a little bit more... Yeah.
It's one of those, like, I hate this, but I'm working towards a goal.
Right. I was just going to say that. You have a countdown, you have a goal, you have an end in sight. That's a lot easier than just, I'm working this job that I hate forever, and I can't leave. You know?
Yeah.
It's it's suboptimal. Don't get me wrong. It's really not the best situation, but when your decisions are going deep into debt or working a shit-ass job, unfortunately, working a shit-ass job is going to be the ultimately better choice because we're stuck with the system we're at currently.
And or a shit-ass job, which is when you're a vet and you're working on donkeys.
Yep, and cows. You're checking cow pregnancies and making sure that they're foaling correctly. Yeah. Calfing correctly. Foaling is horses.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Different animal. I'm pretty sure that they still both involve, like, sticking your hand.
Either way, you're going to be up to your shoulder in blood. Large animal vagina.
Anything wrong with a cow, arm goes up with sore throat. Arm up the cow.
Yep. Just which end? Doesn't matter. Arm up the cow.
Hand puppet. No.
God.
We got that from Peter Davison was on stage at a Doctor Who convention. This was years and years ago. This was back in like 97.
Was he talking about all creatures?
Yeah. Yeah. He was talking about the inordinate... so for those who don't know, before he was the Doctor, Peter Davison was in a show based on a series of books called All Creatures Great and Small, where he played a country vet.
It's a great show, too. And I loved him in it.
He was talking about the inordinate amount of time that he spent with his arm up a cow. He was like, no matter what was wrong with the cow, they're putting on the glove that goes up to your shoulder. And it's like, sore throat, arm up the cow.
You have a sore throat, find a cow, stick your arm up it.
Yeah, it's guaranteed to take your mind off of the sore throat.
And how far of a cow's hoo-ha?
Yeah, or tickling the tonsils from the other end. Oh. Yeah, really long arms. Also, that doesn't connect, but...
As you burn your hand off going through the stomach acid portion.
Yeah. God, it's like that all that awful art where it's like, oh, they're getting cummed in so hard it's shooting out their mouth. And I'm like, did you just like, is your cum acid? Did you just bore a hole through their body?
That's when they don't know how anatomy works.
Or like, they're getting cummed so hard in the vagina that they just vomiting cum. And I'm like, that doesn't connect.
It doesn't work
that way. It doesn't work that way.
It came so hard it shot out their ears.
Oh, so there's my benevolent things that you dislike.
Okay.
Butt plugs that are tails.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm.
Those bug the ever-living fuck out of me.
Why? Just curious.
Because I know how anatomy works and you don't poop a tail.
Oh.
Some people might, if you eat a tail... It has to come out, right?
No, that's like... maybe if you shove a raccoon up there, that's how that works. But yeah, yes. That's my unpopular... It's like, that's like, hot. It's like, no, you're pooping a tail. Tails do not come from
just
there.
Just wear a little belt. Make it more accurate.
The only time I have an issue with that is when it's real fur. Because it's not... not usually humanely sourced fur.
Yeah, I just have that's a whole like big
the
anatomy.
Severed fox tails that you see at like Ren fairs. I just like
yeah
people like eat
them like fucking. I think it'd be kind of hot if it's fake fur. But yeah,
doesn't matter
just,
fake real. You don't poop a tail.
Just wearing it above. Is
yeah, just
too.
Of course. Then you're talking about real fur, and I'm thinking like a real fur fursuit. It's just all these patchworks of fox pelts and
God.
One horrific mess.
Yeah, we talked about that before when we were making fun of PETA.
Yeah,
because we were like, "There's no way we're gonna make fur suits out of real fur."
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Anyway,
so there's one last email, Shiva. It's yours, and it's not that long.
Oh, so it's Shiva safe?
Well. You could also be like, hey, your Telegram and Discord links are outdated. But I just read that, so I just need to update our Tumblr.
Alright, so... I guess I'll use the name Sleeper because Anonymous doesn't cut it for me anymore. So hi again, Notcast Crow. Before I start, I will say the con gods were good to me at TNT, Tokyo and Tulsa. And the weather did not try to kill everyone. It was awesome, so I got so many cosplay pics because of what I because of that, what I do. That's not me reading. It's broken English.
Because of that's what I do when I go to cons.
Yeah, because that's what I do when I go to cons. I fixed it for you. But because of furry podcasts, I'll tell you about the furries. They were great. I wish I got to talk to more, to some, but... And go to meet their... what?
Go to their meetup.
Here I'll pick... No, it's not me this time.
Yeah, the this is a very interestingly written email.
Read it in a Russian accent.
Okay, I don't do that well.
Here a pic from one of the camera people at the event.
Yeah, he links a picture. But gnomes seem to misbehave and were nice. But you know how big cons are. If you don't plan a thing just right, you can miss a lot. But I still see a lot to... wish I made time to see this get-together. But wow, a lot of fur at AnimeCon. And AnimeCon. Okay, now to get opinion time. Is it just me, or the last few years of any new fandoms been plagued with people that want to bring up bad news? Like, every time I hear blank is the worst fandom for now, every new show, I don't get it. What do you think is up with that? What do you think is with that forever moving target? Feels like it. Some cool LGBT stuff you may have missed in cartoons. Have any of you ever watched The Loud House? Really good Nick show that has been surprising me with its episodic episode formats. Maybe one of you guys should have read this. But for LGBT stuff, a newer episode, L is for Love, it threw a curveball. The episode follows typical anonymous love letter story format that we all seen with these shows.
Dear Penthouse, I never thought it would happen to me.
It ends with the Louds giving letters to their crushes because, aw, sweet ending is needed. But Luna Loud just named her crush as Sam, and we are led to believe it's a boy in a band because why else would we? Turns out Sam is one of the girls in the band. I was left shocked remembering I used to know a girl, Sam, and I also think maybe check that privilege gauge. They just reveal it's a last-second twist, and I doubt that they'd be allowed to develop this any further, but hey, it was still cool, I think. And if that did get developed more, it would be awesome. Peace and love. Love the show. Sleeper out.
Yeah.
So on the poisonous... Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, yeah, Loud House, they threw that out there, and it was just like, OMG, what a twist! Nice. And now you also have the Legend of Korra continuation comics, and there was a Comic-Con exclusive thing that was a little statuette. It's Korra and Asami holding hands, sitting on a picnic or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, there's some kid stuff that's exploring same-sex stuff that's just kind of treating it as a, yo, by the way, how it is.
Kind of like how you see, girl and boy. And,
yeah, they're just being more inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good stuff. The fandom issue, dude, show-related fandoms are toxic.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter what.
Kind of always been the case. Like I mentioned before, I stopped interacting with the Doctor Who fandom in the 90s when it was like between shows
in the being dark times. On.
In the official fandom expression is the wilderness years.
Yeah.
And it was toxic as fuck. And I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy Doctor Who and not interact with the fandom. And having dipped into it a couple times since then, I made the right decision. And for what you've told me about the Brony fandom and the Steven Universe fandom and the Undertale fandom, like, it seems like they all start out good and then they start going, you shipped them wrong! You drew them wrong!
Well, there can be good elements, but there's bad ones that just leave a bad taste in your mouth. But
really
there can
is.
Be some really good stuff, too.
I know there's some really good stuff, and there's a lot of good stuff out of the Doctor Who fandom as well, but yeah, the bad stuff is like, it's a vocal minority, but it does leave a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah. I had this happen earlier today. I was looking at my con account, and it's like, oh, this person who's been a volunteer in prior years just posted this, like, I like this alt-right, right-wing video on YouTube, and I'm like, block on block. Problem solved.
Yeah.
And it's just like, wow, this fandom, it's one of the things, okay, so I'm super not enamored with the pony fandom anymore. I got out. I climbed out of the pool and realized, oh my god, all these turds. Like, I see a lot of people that I either followed or used to follow, and they just gone down the road to shit. And it's really disappointing because it's actually part of the reasoning behind rolling it up after this year. Is just like, man, I'm not going to put on a party for these fuckers. It is disappointing because, I mean, Showface fandoms, it's, you have a lot of people that are focusing on a single thing and they all have their own opinions on it, and you can get into real big fights around whites, internet fights, basically. And it's just really tiring because it can totally kill your enjoyment of a show. Where, in fact, you just engage with the media and can engage on a superficial level with, like, the fandom, fan content, like the art and stuff. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And don't read the comments. Like, hell, even the Dream Daddy game,
mm-hmm.
there was a controversy where some artist drew, and like, Dream MILF or whatever. So they just Rule 63'd the characters.
Right.
And people got super mad about that. And I'm sure, and then people have drawn them as cats and dogs and fish and whatever. And it's silly, but this one artist was getting lots of attention and crazy death threats because they drew Rule 63 gender-swapped versions of the characters. So instead of being ideal dads, they were idealized moms of various flavor.
Because, you know, you never want to be a girl and go date another girl.
I don't even know, man. It's just, it was crazy. And a lot of the genuine, well-meaning people in the pony community were in and got burned and left. And now a lot of it is the hypercritical, nitpicky bullshit or the frog boys, the unfortunates, the deplorables, and it's just like, you know what? I'm not going to engage. Yeah. The people whose main takeaway from the show is they want to fuck a horse. And that Equestria is a white ethno state, apparently.
Well, it's like some of the Steven Universe stuff gets really vicious.
Yeah.
I mean, like one girl happened to draw Rose, who's usually a very tall, very chunky gal.
She's a big gal.
And she happened to draw her looking slightly slim. And she got her jumped on.
Yep.
Because God help you if you don't, you know.
And it's like, there was a thing where like someone got really mad about some Voltron fan art. And they were like, oh, you whitewashed this character. And they were like, literally like, here is the official artwork of this character. Here is my fan art. Here is literally the eyedropper icon with the same RGB values on both. Shut up.
God.
You know, and so yeah. Anybody can be like, oh, X fandom is the worst. But if you just enjoy the media and enjoy the peripheral stuff and don't engage with the fandom, it's generally fine.
Yeah.
Like, yo, there's lots of anime stuff I watch, but I don't touch the fandoms. I'll look at the fan art and enjoy the shows, but I'm not going to read dude's 15-minute triste on why Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Mage is actually, like, super hetero or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, I'm not here for your bad takes, I'm here for the cute dragons
mm-hmm.
who are maids.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the furry fandom has plenty of bad parts, but it's a lot of good parts, way more good parts.
I think it's because we don't have as much, like, nitpicky, how to put it, we have some, like, Zootopia, where there's source material. There's a lot of it is just your own made-up shit. And people might have, you know, some small axe to grind against XYZ, but they're so broad of what is a thing that it kind of gets lost in the noise of everything else, so you don't get as embroiled in that shit.
We're a meta-fandom along the lines of, like, sci-fi and fantasy, where everybody kind of has their own little worlds and their character designs and whatnot, and you can't really tell someone that your character is wrong.
And even if you take a broader, like, anime in general, not just, like, I don't know, pick a particular fandom for a show, you know, so long as you don't delve too deep into any one particular show and kind of stick to like a more broad arching anime, you're a little safer.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I enjoy a bunch of these different shows. I have the genres I like, but I am not deep diving into the fandom for One Piece or Dragon Ball Super or insert popular thing here. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of interesting discourse around My Hero Academia. I would like to watch it, but I'm not going to engage with the fandom. Like, I really like Little Witch Academia, which are, in fact, two very different shows. Little Witch Academia is we're making anime Harry Potter, and My Hero Academia is, in a world where everybody has superpowers, the one kid that doesn't have superpowers wants to train to be a hero. And so he goes to hero school and being a normal human in a world of superpowers. And it's a neat premise. And uh-huh. they both got two seasons of stuff. Very different, similar names, very different premises. But again, I'm sure there's a lot of talk about that. But you know what? I'll watch the show, but I'm not going to go to someone's blog about it. And that's just kind of the thing. You have to set the boundaries on what media you consume. And if you realize you're getting in a bit too deep, you can probably be like, yo, you know what? I really don't care that this person has a 15-minute video on why they ship these two characters. Yeah. And anybody who doesn't is wrong. And that's cool. And if you want to do that, that's totally fine, too.
It's like I do ship some things in my head, but I don't really feel like sharing them because I don't want really, one, want to delve that too deeply into my reasonings because sometimes they're really dumb when you look at things too hard. Yeah. And two, I don't want to be told I'm wrong.
Well,
okay. I want to enjoy what I want to enjoy and, you know, just a simple pleasure.
So here's a sentence that always starts off really well. I saw a thing on Reddit. Which was somebody did a textual analysis of how many times the main characters of My Little Pony have said each other's names. And they actually did a breakdown all the way up to the end of the current season, or to where they are now. And basically like, oh, so this is the OTPs, right? And so it was like, this character has said this other character's name the most. And all of them ended up saying Twilight the most.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, so Twilight just has a harem? Like, this is fine. No. But like, everyone's saying Twilight's name more because she's the main character.
Yeah.
But it was just, like, the breakdown of, like, this character has said this name the most. Like, and Pinkie Pie has said her own name the most somehow.
Because I'm somehow not surprised.
But Rarity has said Applejack's name the most, and Applejack has said Rarity's name the most, and Fluttershy has said Rainbow Dash's name the most, and everyone's like, ah, my OTPs! And I'm like, lol, whatever. That's cute. And it is, like, there was a time where I'd be like, oh, shit, I'm going to read this and think about it and talk about it. And I'm just like, nah, I've learned my lesson. Whatever floats your anime goat, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Just be willing to set boundaries on the fandoms you engage in.
And how deep you want to dive. And if you find it getting a little toxic, just paddle a little bit towards the surface.
Yeah.
And stop reading comments.
Yes. Stop reading the comments.
So my one cool thing for this week. Uh-huh. Texas man shoots armadillo. Bullet ricochets back into his face.
That is a cool thing. Because why would you shoot an armadillo? They're benign little creatures.
Yeah.
They have it hard enough as it is. If they're anywhere near a roadway, they're drawn to it and die.
Yeah. I guess they can rip up gardens. I mean, but other than that.
I've seen a little one and they're so cute.
So it, things.
You guys didn't get to go to this con, but Central Plains Fur Con, one of the years I went, their animal charity was there. One year was really cool. They had a honey badger, and I got to pet a honey badger, which is extremely rare because they're not native to this continent. It was basically they had a breeding pair for scientific purposes, and they brought one of them out. Their paw pads are really soft. They sense a lot through their paw pads, yeah. But their fur is really tough and rough. But the
really wiry.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
But the armadillo, they had this little baby armadillo. So, they roll up into their perfect little ball. It's like Metroid, you know, sphere mode. What's it called again? Oh, good. Morph Ball Acquired.
Yeah.
back.
You know a video game reference I'm proud of.
It's because it's from the 90s, and that's when I had a SNES. And the guy put the little armadillo on the ground, and the little armadillo is running after him and stuff like that. He's like, and I have to be really careful, because apparently what the armadillo likes to do is roll up to a person, catch the cuff of their pants, and then roll closed. And they're like
crimp onto the edge of their pants.
Yeah, and the thing about armadillos have super, super strong abdominal muscles. So you cannot pull them back open. So it would just like to like roll up to the cuff of his jeans and
clip
on there. He's like, you know, and if I let that happen, I won't be able to get him off. Like it'll be like an hour before he leaves his own accord.
You now belong to him.
Yeah.
You're his now.
But yeah, we got to see the little guy. He's super adorable. And they also had a little hedgehog there, which was so cute.
Like the a British European that hedgehog?
Or a porcupine.
Was it big and bushy or like the size of your hand?
Tiny, like the size of my hand. Yeah.
Probably a hedgehog, unless it's a baby.
I thought it was a hedgehog. And you can pet them as long as you do it in the right direction.
Because a porcupine is like a small, medium-sized dog size. I mean, they're not small critters.
Really?
No.
This must have been a hedgehog then. It was a very little. But super cute. They have these adorable little twitchy noses. But yeah, armadillo got me onto that topic.
So. I would like to someday see an armadillo that's not dead.
Yeah, it was nice to see one alive and rolling around. Like, literally a little ball just...
Okay, so I'm on fucking board with pony movie toys now.
Oh?
So they have their little airship toy with Pirate Captain Rainbow Dash.
Yeah, I saw...
And they have the main six in little pirate costumes. So there's a Twilight with a Corsair's coat and a pirate hat, and she has a magic lasso. And Pinkie Pie is dressed as, like, a cabin girl with the little pirate vest and little red belt. And I'm just like, oh my god, that's actually really cute.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So is this the Equestria Girl style? Or
no, it's ponies. It's pony-ass ponies with...
Doing pony things.
In Ponyland.
Yes.
Yeah, none of this high school girl bullshit. It's horse girl, horse women doing adventures as horses. But they're also sky pirates, because of course,
you got your steampunk in my horses. That I thought the box art looked pretty cool.
Yeah,
Dash had like the sky pirate goggles on.
So I'm assuming at some point they're flying around in a airship at some point. So
maybe Don Carnage will show up and need
the iron. And then of course there's the pirate captain with the crystal peg leg, who people like day one saw her like porn.
Yeah,
they want to fuck the pirate burb.
Yeah.
Of course. And Capper, whose waist is just the perfect height for ponies. Anyways.
That's the cat, Garrett?
Yeah, the cat. His name is Capper.
I didn't know they named a character after Capper General.
I know, right? Everyone's like, fuck, now everybody thinks I'm a furry.
Oh, you were always a furry, honey.
Yeah, sorry, the more you know. Also, squids are furry. Inklings are furry.
Well, they're animals, so.
Everything is furry.
Yep. You're just a anthro monkey. Anthro great ape.
Anthro grape ape.
All right, so what else you got, Shiva? Anything? Because guess what? We're going to do a short episode. It's an hour fucking 40 again.
I'm still reading it, but there was a neat article I just forwarded to you guys that was on Vice. How the furry community became a safe space for youth, and just starting to skim the beginning of it.
Oh, neat.
It's really nice.
Cool.
Really positive article.
We'll tweet that. Oh, it's on Google Play. What?
It's on. Google.
And it just came out too.
So it's interesting.
Yeah, we'll tweet about that because that's really cool. I shook my head. No, no way. That's the sick thing. She rolled her eyes. That's only for people in mersuits who want to yiff. Not everyone's in it for the sex, Mom. She scolded. Mersuits are fursuits specifically designed for sex. You know, openings for access. I didn't know, and I wasn't sure I wanted to know how she knew all the terminology. The unschooled, meat public, me, often must identify as furries as a subculture of sexual fetishes, to the chagrin of the many, many furries who aren't. And then, of course, the article continues for 1,500 words. So.
But yeah, it's pretty positive just skimming it.
That's cool. Yeah. Basically, it's, yo, I took my daughter to Anthrocon and it was cool.
Yeah.
Which is always nice. That's the kind of articles we love to see. I took my kid to blah anime, blah event, and it was cool.
Yeah.
Is always helpful to said event.
Pittsburgh says fuck it and change his name to Anthroburg.
Might as well. All right, guys. So, do we got anything else?
Nope, that's about it for me.
Cool. Well, I'll put those two things in the show notes. Mm. The article about the Kentucky convention and this Vice article. As always, email us, notcastfoxduffers.com. Hey, tell us what's your unpopular opinion that's not dodgy. You can always answer that.
No politics.
No politics.
That was one of the stipulations in the original.
Yeah, not political, just the public likes it and you don't.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Patreon. If you like the show and want to toss some cash our way, patreon.com/notcast. No pressure. And you can find me on Twitter @SavinDrake.
Find me on Twitter at Fuzzwolf.
Find me on Twitter as Chimera, K-H-Y-M-E-R-A. A-E-R. Yeah. I can't spell.
K-H-Y-M-A-E-R-A.
You spelled that flawlessly for like 5 years.
I know. Fuck off.
It's okay.
I cannot talk. I have the dumb.
It's all right.
It's from reading that email.
Yeah.
Did not help.
I'm going to wrap it up on the note.
Good night. And big
verbal,
balls.
Verbal, verbal, verbal,
and verbal, 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 verbal.